here. It's never happened to me before.
Well. This is our first shiur for Basa Bacholov. The Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar Asur Levashel Bacholov establishes the Iser Bishol derived from the Pasuk Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, a violation of an Iser Doraisa of Meleches Mechab. Of Bishol Basa Bacholov. And then the Mishnah goes on to establish an Isur Derabbanan, which is called Halah al Shulchan, also Lahalo Sima Gvin al Shulchan. You can't put Basar and Gvin on the same Shulchan. There's a long diun here in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, what exactly constitutes Bishul. For example, Tzliyah, is Tzliyah considered Bishul? Stadum Lakan. And what about Tigun? And does Tigun have the same status as Tzliya? Many different discussions here. The critical point, and everything hinges on that, is the concept of Derech Bishol Asra Torah. Rashi is the first one to formulate this in the Sugya on Daf Kuf Ches, when he speaks about Rava's understanding of Tipas Cholov as opposed to Abaye, because Abaye bases it on the concept of Tam Ki'iko, which Rava doesn't seem to accept. And therefore, Rava establishes the principle of Derech Bishol Asra Torah. And Rashi emphasizes this on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, Sof Dibur HaMaskil Omale Rava. So everything with regard to the Iser Bishul revolves and depends upon Derech Bishul. What constitutes Derech Bishul? The Gemara here on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis brings a machlokas between Rav and Levi. According to Rav, if you take a chatzi zayis basar and a chatzi zayis cholov and you cook them together, you're not chayv mishum bishul, but you chayv mishum achila, because you ate a full kizayis. However, Levi disagrees, and Levi holds that kishem shaloka al achiloso, kach loka al bishul. Levi certainly sees a very tight relationship between the Iser Bishul and the Iser Achila, and to the same extent, according to Levi, there's an Iser Achila with regard to Chatzi Zayis Cholov, Shenis Bashel, with Chatzi Zayis Basar, so too there's an Iser Bishul. So B'li Nether will try to come back to that soon. The Rambam formulates all these halachas at the beginning of Perek Tes, Mihilchas Macholos Asuros, and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch here at the beginning of Simon Pei Zayin. What I want to call to your attention is the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva here at the beginning of Siman Pei Zayin quotes a Tshuva from the Shaar Ephraim. And it's really impressive how much of the literature of the poskim over the course of centuries revolves around this Tshuva of the Shaar Ephraim. The Tshuva of the Shaar Ephraim has many different dimensions to it. We're going to focus today mostly on one, but there are other fascinating dimensions to the Shaar Ephraim. The case is Chema Shebishlo B'Kederas Basar Ben Yomo. He cooks in a Fleshik Apad Ben Yomo. We're talking about a real Tam L'Shvach Chema. So it's a Kederas Basar Ben Yomo and this Chema. And now this chema can be used as oil. Is it permissible, asks the Shaar Ephraim, to use this chema as oil to light up his house? And he says the following. If he lights up his house with this chema, he violates the Iser Hanah Mibasa B'Cholof. Since this chema was cooked in a kederah shel basar ben yomo, it therefore has the status of basar b'cholov, which is not only asur b'bishul and also asur b'achil, it's also asur b'anah. Now this again is going to be very fascinating, whether or not lighting up a house is considered a violation of the Isra Hanoah. We usually have the principle of kol marav areach ein bo mishum me'ila. The question is whether that constitutes a violation of Isra Hanoah. That's one dimension of the tshuva, the Sha'ar Ephraim. The second dimension is the fact that the Sha'ar Ephraim wants to know, if I can't light up my house with this chema, can I at least use it as a ner Chanukah? And he says that since the principle is also lishtamish liora, there's no hanah from an ner Chanukah, therefore shari, it's mutter. However, he goes on to say something even more than that. He says not only is ner Chanukah mutter because also lishtamish liora, and he's not getting any benefit from it, but he says, afilim timtzalomar, even if he were to get benefit from the Ner Chanukah, he says, mitzvos lav lehenos nitna. And that doesn't constitute hanah. He then vacillates back and forth whether the principle of mitzvos lav lehenos nitna applies to a mitzvah derabbanon. And he comes to the conclusion that even a mitzvah derabbanon is mitzvos lav lehenos nitna. So again, there's so many different dimensions here. Whether or not the Isur Lishtamish Liora is accepted by all poskim. Secondly, even if I grant you Usur Lishtamish Liora, but what if he goes ahead and he has some benefit from the Ner Chanukah? Does the principle of Mitzvah Lehenos Nitnu apply? And that depends upon a famous sheet of the Taz, which is not for us today. The Taz says that when you have hanah built into the mitzvah, then you don't say mitzvah lav lehenos nitnu. For example, hanos tashmish echalai, even if tashmish would be a key of mitzvah of onah, nevertheless, since it's essential to the mitzvah, or for example, hanos sukkah alai, in the case where he takes a neder not to benefit from the sukkah, the Taz claims that here we suspend the principle of mitzvah lav lehenos nitnu because the hanah is built into the essence of the mitzvah. And if I hold the Ner Chanukah mutal ishtamish liora, the question is whether that's just a heter or that's part of the mitzvah. For example, if you were to postulate that mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu does not apply to a mitzvah derabbanan, we have to know why, then perhaps if he has hanah from the Ner Chanukah, that is actually a hanah, which would be a violation of the Iser hanah in the case of Basar B'chol. But with all this having said and done, the focus of all the poskim with regard to this tshuva of the Sha'ar Ephraim is not what he says, but what he doesn't say. And that's the kasha here, which is brought down in the Pisrei Tshuva and also in the Prima Gadim in the Sifsei Das. Why should Ner Chanukah be mutter? What about the act of kindling the Ner Chanukah? That itself is a Maisa Bishul. And this kasha was raised by the Eliyahu Zutta, not here in Hilchos Basar B'chol v'Yoredeya, but rather in Tafresh Ayin Gimel in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Chanukah. He says, Tmiani, he says, I don't understand. Forget about whether he's having Hanukkah for the Ner Chanukah or he's not having Hanukkah for the Ner Chanukah. And forget about the fact that if he's lighting up his house, Lahair is Beso, he is having Hanah, and he violates the Isra Hanah. Dalmi Hachi. Why does the Sha'ar Ephraim have to focus on the Isra Hanah? There's a more fundamental Isra, and that's the Isra Bishol. The Lav Hachi also, Mishum Bishol Basar B'cholov. Isn't he violating the Isra of Bishol Basar B'cholov? So before we move on to try to explain why the Pisrei Tshuva in the name of the Sha'ar Ephraim thinks that there's no violation of the Isur Bishul Basar B'chol by lighting this chema, let's talk about the Ramah for a moment here in Pei Zayin in Sifva. The Ramah writes, Yesh Omrim di Osur Lachtos Ha'esh Tachas Kedera Shel Goy. Or Goya. You know, it's this non-Jew is cooking and you want to just move the fire a little bit, intensify the heat of the fire. And he says, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Lefishe mevashlim bahem. Pa'amim chalav u pa'amim basar. Right? They don't have milk dishes and
fleshing and dishes, so they cook everything together in the kedera.
V'amachat etachas hakedera, chitu itself might be a violation of the iser bishul, ubali de bishul basar b'cholav. Fine. So the Shach writes that this is a chumra bi'alma. That mi'ikar adin, there's no problem in this bishul, in this chitui. Why? Says the Shach, at least the way the Prima Gadim understands the Shach, because it was already cooked. What happened? The guy cooked basar and cholav in this pot. And now you're not creating a new entity of basar v'cholav. Says the Prima Gadim, Ein bishul achar bishul. What the Ramah means to say, the way the Shach understands it, that this is a chumrah, but mi'ikar adin it would be mutter, it's because ein bishul achar bishul. Says the Sifsei Das in Prima Gadim, the same principle of ein bishul achar bishul would explain why the Sharei Ephraim is not worried about lighting the chema, because when he lights the chema and the he that he's being mavashal the chema, that's unquestionable. But nevertheless, it was already cooked previously. And to the same extent that we have a principle in Hilchas Shabbos and Melechas Shabbos, ein bishul achar bishul, so too with regard to the isur lav of basar b'cholav, ein bishul achar bishul. So let's just summarize what we have here. We have a number of diyudim in this tshuva, the Sha'ar Ephraim, based on what the Sha'ar Ephraim does say. But we have one major diyud, l'inyonenu, in what the Sha'ar Ephraim doesn't say. The Sha'ar Ephraim is totally focused on the Isur Hanor. When he lights up this chema to be Meir's beso, he violates the Isur Hanor of Basar B'cholav. In the case of Ner Chanukah, perhaps, also Lishtamish Liora, he's not getting any benefit, and even in the worst case scenario, he does get benefit, Mitzvah Lenas Nitnu, fine. But why doesn't the Sha'ar Ephraim mention a word about the Bishul itself? When he lights up this Chema, he violates the Isur Bishul. And that's the objection that's raised by the Eliyahu Zutta. So the possibility exists here to justify the Sha'ar Ephraim, his omission of Bishul, based on the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And that's the way the Prima Gadim understands the Sha'ar Ephraim. Is the Sha'ar Ephraim the first to postulate that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul in Basar V'Cholav? The answer is no. Who postulated it first? Again, not explicitly but implicitly, is the Ramah, because the Ramah here, Pei Zayin Vav, says, the way the Shach understands it, is a Chumrah, that we want to be Machmir, because maybe someone will confuse it with a different case, or maybe there'll be new cooking going on in this pot. But technically speaking, Mikra Adin, the fact that he cooks in this non-Jewish pot is okay. And the reason is because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The Krasi, here in Pei Zayin Sifkat Yud Gimel, says the following. What happened to the Ikar Hadin of an Iser Bishul Doraisa here in the case of a Kedera Shel Goy? And he says that the only explanation is to assume that since the Basar B'Cholav of Balua in the Kedera was already cooked, therefore Ein bishul achar bishul, but he adds k'mosha b'shabes ein bishul achar bishul. Hu adin the boss of a cholov ein bishul achar bishul. As we said, this would be the shita of the Sha'ar Ephraim, that there's no problem with this chema of bishul because it was already mevushal and ein bishul achar bishul. So we start with a whole school of thought. Soon we'll see Rabbi Kivager also belongs to the school of thought, that the principle of Shabbos of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to Basar B'Cholav as well. Who belongs to this school of thought? The Sha'ar Ephraim, and perhaps even the Ramah himself, the way that the Shach understood the Ramah. Now you know that here in Pei Zayin and throughout Yoredeya, there's Hagos Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Kivager At the beginning of Pei Zayin, which is Dibra Maschil Ela Derech Bishul, where the Mechaber says that you're only chayev for Bishul if it's Derech Bishul, says Rabbi Kivek at the end of this long paragraph, Kosav in Ahilat Two Girsos, Bahagos Shari Dura or Bahagos Issa Veheter, they were both around the same time, and they're very often interchanged in the poskim. He writes Chaticha Shenichbisha Becholav. He took a piece of meat and he soaks it in milk. That's called Kavush. Says the Issa Veheter, Osur Levashla. He's not allowed to cook it. Why isn't he allowed to cook it? The Adkan Lavi Kibush Ela Isur Dirabanan. The Ata Over Al Isur Bishul Doraisa. Says the Isur Veheter that Kavush is Kimavushal only Midrabanan. So as far as the Torah law is concerned, he has not implemented an act of Bishul. And therefore, if subsequent to the Kavush, he's Mevashalit, he now violates an Issa Doraisa of Bishul. Comes along Rabbi Kivega with the Diuk, Kedarko Bakodesh, Mashma, he says, the Imnis Bashla Becholov, here, he's not allowed to do the Bishul because it was not cooked with Cholav, but rather it was soaking in Cholav, which is Kavush Drabbanon. Mashma de'im nisbashla b'cholav, hayamuto lachzor ulevashla. The only problem that the Issa Veheter has here is because it was Kavush. Had it been Mevushal, we would apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and he'd be allowed to cook it subsequent to the first cooking, because the same principle that applies in Shabbos of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies in Bishul Basar B'Cholav as well. Reb Kiva Eger doesn't comment as to whether or not we accept this conclusion of the Issa V'Heter, but elsewhere in Siman Tzadi Beis in Reb Kiva Eger, he actually accepts this lahalacha. And not only that, here in Siman Pei Zayin, he writes, Ayin Pri Megadim, he refers you to the Pri Megadim in Mishpatos Zav, Siman Kuf Hei, and there too, the Pri Megadim assumes that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So we now have a long list of poskim. We'll just go over the list very quickly, the Shaar Ephraim. We have the Ramah according to the Shach. We have now the Issa Veheter, and Rabbi Kivega seems to accept the Issa Veheter. We have the Krasi, who also derives the same conclusion that just like in Shabbos we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, so too here we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Can we find a source in the Rishonim for this principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul in Basar B'Cholav? So if you remember, Rav Andaf Kuf Chesam in Beis says that if you take a half a zayis of Cholav with a half a zayis of Basar and you cook them together, is loka al achilas of v'yeno loka al bishul. So the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Chesam in Beis that the case is Biba Miyore Gdola. The language of the Gemara indicates that he took the Chatzi Zayis from a Yore Gdola, and he took another Chatzi Zayis from a Yore Gdola, and they've already been cooked in the Yore Gdola. Says Rabbeinu Gershon, Biba Miyore Gdola Shel Basar B'Cholav Mevushal, Viloka chatzi zayis may also bosom, chatzi zayis may also cholov, vichozar ubishlam pam acheres. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, abishal lo loki. Why, according to Rav, do you not get malchus for bishal? Dikfar mevushal. Achila loki, di ochal kizayis isur. We now have a source in a Rishon, Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola, that ein bishel acher bishel applies to basar v'cholov. And that's why Rav, according to Rabbeinu Gershon, holds that you're not chayev b'ba miyore gedola for taking a chatzi zayis of basar and a chatzi zayis of cholov and cooking them together. Again, there are going to be some interesting questions over here. For example, according to Rabbeinu Gershon, what happens if it was a full zayis and another full zayis? But in that case, it would all depend on whether it was cooked in the first yoreh. If it was, then ein bishel acher bishel. But clearly, Rabbeinu Gershon goes on record as holding ein bishel basu, ein bishel acher bishel b'basu b'chol. So this Rabosai is what I call ad kan hakofa al, meaning this is Roman numeral number one. We have not only a whole school of Rishonim that ain't Bishol Acher Bishol Bas B'chol, we even have a Rishon who goes on record as saying that ain't Bishol Acher Bishol. Now we move on to Hakofa Beis. And the crazy that we quoted before here in Simon Yud Gimel asks the following question. The Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar prohibits us from halah of Basar Ugvina al Shulchan Echad. The crazy asks the following question. What are we afraid of? The Gemara says on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, Shema Yalein De'ilfas B'Kli Rishon. We're afraid that he might be tempted. You know, let's say there's a Kli Rishon. Again, you have to know whether it's on Gabi Yesh or off the Yesh. But let's say there's a Kli Rishon available. He takes the Cholav and he takes the Basar and he puts it into the Kli Rishon. And he violates an Iser of Bishel Basar V'Cholov. That's what the Gemara says is the basis for the Gzera D'Rabbanan of Halal Gavishul. Frech the crazy, I don't understand. Was this Cholov cooked already? And he comes up with the following principle. He says, and I'll quote to you the language of the crazy. He says, Ein regilus lahalos ala shulchan basar chai. Again, maybe he didn't know about our situation today. Although I don't know about basar, but fish for sure is chai, right? And if you don't believe me, then you have to come. When is it on? Sundays? Sushi Sundays, right? Now already people are eating sushi meats. But in any event, Ein regilus lahalos ala shulchan basar chai. Therefore, he says, if we're afraid through this halah that'll come to be mavashal in an ilfas, in a kli rishon, why not apply the principle of ein bishel acher bishel? If you presume that both the bas and the chov were already cooked, is ein bishel acher bishel? Says the crazy, mikan raya sheyesh bishel acher bishel. And then he refers you to the Elio Zuta. Let's go back to the Elio Zuta. Why did the Shara Ephraim say that you can't use this chema lahayris beso? Because the Hanah, why did the Shara Ephraim mention the Isur Bishol? Says the Elio Rabba, forget about Hanah. There's an earlier Isur here through the Bishol itself. The moment he lights up the chema, he's violated the Isur Bishol. Vice versa, what we see from the Elio Zuto is that Yesh Bishol Acher Bishol Bibasa V'Cholav. Says the crazy, I'm not surprised. Because the Mishnah itself, the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah, is based on the principle of Yesh Bishol Acher Bishol. If it was Ein Bishol Acher Bishol, who cares? What are you making a gzera that he might come to put the Basa and the Cholav on the Shulchan into an Ilfas? So what? It's already Mavushal.
When we say that Ein Bishol Acher Bishol Bibasa V'Cholav, do we mean that if the Basa and the Cholav are Mavushal, that there's no Bishol Acher?
Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's assume so, because otherwise, you know, the cat is out of the bag, and that's going to be the chiddush that I want to share with you at the end of the shiur. But we're almost there. You know, we're not far. So hold that in abeyance right now. Be that as it may, we now have a second side of this matbea, and perhaps the balashita, if we want to identify with one, is going to be the old zuta who says that hak the shar frayim omit the fact that it was mavushal. But add to that a very strong raya from the crazy based on a mishnah. So it turns out that we have two opinions whether or not ein bishel acher bishel of Shabbos applies to basar b'cholov. I'd like to try to suggest a hesber for the yesod ha-machlokas. What are they arguing about? The Rambam in Perek Tes Mehilchos Shabbos Halacha Gimel says that if you have a foodstuff that's mevushal called sarko, and you cook it again a second time around, ein bishal achar bishal. And the Magid Mishnah is medayik in the Lashon Rambam that this is only because it was mevushal called sarko. The Rambam also combines in that same halacha a darashen et tzarech bishal. Says the Magid Mishnah, apparently the Rambam holds, and this is against the Rishonim, against the Rashba and others, that if the first Tavshil was Mevushal Kemichel Ben Josai, which is the Shir of Bishal in Kol Tarkula, even though it's already Mevushal, the Rambam apparently would hold Yechayah for the second Bishal. I ain't Bishal Achar Bishal. The Rambam says that's only if the first Tavshil was Mevushal called Tzarko. Says the Magid Mishnah, this is the Chiddush of the Rambam against the Rishonim, the Rashba and others, who apply Ein Bishal Achar Bishal even to the case of Kemichel Ben Josai. So I heard once from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, what's the machlokas here between the Rambam and the other Rishonim? And I think we've mentioned it in the past, I'm just giving you a little bit of a chazara because it's so fundamental that it's worthy of repetition, and see how it could apply here to Basar B'Cholov. He said the following. Apparently, the Rambam holds that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, even in Shabbos. What does Ein Bishal Achar Bishal mean? In Shabbos, we have halacha of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Meleches Machsheves means that there's got to be some sort of tikkun, some sort of addition that's significant through the malacha. Every single malacha of the Lamed Tes has its own tikkun, its own accomplishment, and its own meleches machsheves. That's where Ein Bishal Achar Bishal comes in. The Rambam essentially holds Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. The only problem is meleches machsheves is a poter here in meleches Shabbos, because he doesn't do anything. He doesn't accomplish anything. The machal was mevushal, and now again it's mevushal. So Yotzei Schar Behafsedo, he's back to square one. Says the Rav, if that be the case, if fundamentally the Rambam holds Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, then in the case of Kemichel Ben Josai, where it's not mevushal called sarko, the Rambam maintains that the increment between Michael Ben Josai and mevushal called sarko is enough of a tikkun for you to be chayav, and therefore yesh bishal achar bishal. What are the other Rishon in the Rashba hold? They maintain that ein bishal achar bishal is a fundamental principle, and it applies in Hilchos Shabbos straight away. It has nothing to do with the chisaron of tikkun. Once the Chefta is Mevushal, there's no Torah's Maisa Bishal on a Chefta Mevushal. There's no Bishal that can repeat a Bishal. And if Kemichel Ben Josai is sufficient to establish a Chefta Mevushal, then there's no Torah's Maisa Bishal on a Chefta Mevushal. That's a clear-cut halacha, a principle that knows of no exceptions. Therefore, in Hilchos Shabbos, the fact that the Rambam is so impressed with taking it from Kemichel Ben Josai to Mevushal Tzarko as a tikkun, and therefore he wants to establish that now you fulfill the requirement of Lechus Machsheves, we should reject that. Because I have to look at the Chefta to define whether it's Mevushal. If in Hilchos Bishal and Shabbos, Kemichel Ben Josai is the Shir of Bishal, it means the Chefta is Mevushal, then there's no Torah's Bishal on a Chefta. That's the halacha. It's not a meleches machsheves halacha. It's much more fundamental and much more far-reaching. And therefore the Rashba will be mekil and apply ein bishach and bishal straight across the board without exception, even in the case of the Rambam's Kemichel Ben Josai. So I was thinking that perhaps based on this hesber, we could begin to analyze what would be the case of Basar B'Cholov as far as the lav of bishal. If I assume, like the Rambam, that fundamentally Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, the fact that the Chefs is Mevushal does not pull the rug out of under my feet to say I can't have another bishul. I could have another bishul. Narvas is a separate halacha in Shabbos of Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. Where's the tikkun? That's a unique halacha to Shabbos. Once I break the shackles of Hilchas Shabbos and I go to Kol HaTorah Kula, then I can have a bishul acher bishul. Masha'en came according to the other Rishonim who hold that even in the case of Kimaychel Ben Josayim bishul acher bishul. Al Karchuk, because they hold that once the Cheftz is Mevushal, there's no Torah's bishul. That's a halacha that should apply universally. It has nothing to do with the unique singular p'tur of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore in Basa B'cholov is Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. What I'm suggesting here is that the machlokes between, if we want to call it the Shar Ephraim on the one hand, who says Ein Bishul Acher Bishul, and the Elio Zut on the other hand, or if you will, the machlokes between Rabbeinu Gershom on the one hand, the crazy on the other hand, this machlokes really has its roots in Hilchas Shabbos. It's not the way I would have understood it. And we'll see perhaps a second explanation in a minute, that the machlokas, whether yesh b'shach b'shach or ein b'shach b'shach is a b'shach b'cholof halacha. No. The roots of this machlokas lie not in Hilchas b'shach b'cholof, but in Hilchas Shabbos. How do we understand the principle of ein b'shach b'shach in Shabbos? Is it a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves because we're lacking tikkun, but fundamentally yesh b'shach b'shach? And therefore whenever I can remove the principle or the requirement of Meleches Machsheves and tikkun, therefore I go back to square one, yesh bishul acher bishul, or the opposite is true, ein bishul acher bishul has nothing to do with Meleches Machsheves. It's a fundamental principle that once the object is mevushal, there's no other bishul, and that would be perhaps the machlokas here in Basa B'cholov. You know that there's a siddur called the Siddur Yavitz. Have you ever seen it? I have an old copy of it. Anyway, he writes, listen to the language of the Siddur Yavitz, which I think perhaps could support our understanding. He says, with regard to Basa B'cholov, lo dami l'Shabbos. Basa B'cholov is not similar to Shabbos. Dibbe Shabbos Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah V'eino Chayav Elo Al Melacha Shetzricha L'Gufa. We don't find a p'tur of Melacha Shetzricha L'Gufa Meleches Bishul in the Lav of Bishul anywhere outside the realm of Shabbos. Therefore, Masha'en came with Basa B'cholov, Abishal Kopid Rachmona, the Afal Gavdieno Tzorech Lo. Meaning, the requirement of Melech HaTzrich LeGufa is a Shabbos halacha based on Meleches Machsheves. In Basa B'cholov, he says, where there is no Meleches Machsheves, even a Melech HaTzrich LeGufa would constitute Bishal. Now again, he doesn't speak about yesh bishul acher bishul or ein bishul acher bishul, but I think the same logic could apply within the framework of the Rambam. If the logic of the Rambam is true, that ein bishul acher bishul in Shabbos is a Meleches Machsheves halacha, then it has no implications and applications as far as bishul basa b'cholov. It would be like melacha shein etzrich legufa according to the Yavitz. There's no p'tur of melacha shein etzrich legufa in bishul basa b'cholov. He says because melacha shein etzrich legufa is a unique halacha in Shabbos, because Meleches Machsheves, and therefore I go back to square one. Bishul, yesh bishul acher bishul. If, on the other hand, I understand that ein bishul acher bishul is a fundamental principle, has nothing to do with the p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. Once it's mevushal, there's no bishul. Then it should apply even to Basa B'cholov. So, frankly speaking, I was very excited about this, and I'm not going to drop this. I mean, I'm still going to hold on to it, but I have to move on because I think that there may be another approach. You recall that Rabbi Kiva Eger here at the beginning of Pei Zion quotes the Iser V'Heter. The Iser V'Heter says that if you take a piece of meat and you soak it in milk, that's called kavush. If you cook it subsequently, you're chayav for the lav of Bishul Basa B'cholov. Why? Says Isa Veheter, because Kavush is only Derabbanon. And now you Mavashal a Bishul to Oraisa. So I want to ask the following question. Rabbi Kveger understands from this Isa Veheter that the principle is Ein bishul achar bishul, which means that had it not been kovished or abundant, but a full-fledged bishul, he'd be allowed to cook it a second time because ein bishul achar bishul, which obviously places the Isra Heter in the camp of the Shari Ephraim and the Ramah, the Koin Tereshach, and the Diuk that we had in the in Rabbeinu Gersh. But I have the following question. Which is your favorite achron? This is not my question, but it's the introduction. Which is your favorite achron for Hilchas Shabbos? Does anybody have a favorite? Mine used to be the Minchas Chinuch, but now I have a better one. No, the Igle Tal. No, the Igle Tal. I mean, again, the Igle Tal didn't finish the job, but certainly Meleches Ofer. So there's an amazing chiddush of the Igle Tal, which I think bears on this whole discussion. The Igle Tal is of the opinion that Yesh Bishol Achar Kavush. Let me just read to you the language of the Igle Tal. It says the following. Just one second. I'm trying to get this up here. Hamavashel machol shenichbash chayav mishum mevashel mishum bishul. So I'm thinking the following: if in Hilchas Shabbos you're chayav for bishul after kvisha, and there's a whole discussion about bishul after tzliya or tzliya after bishul. So then, what's going on here in the Issa V'Heter? The Issa V'Heter implies that if there would have been Bishul, then Bishul D'Oraisa, then you could be Mavasha. Correct? Why? Says Rav Kiveger, because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But one second. Even if Kavush would have been D'Oraisa, again, the case of the Issa V'Heter is Kavush. Let's grant that Kavush would be D'Oraisa. In Hilchas Shabbos, the Igle Tal says that Bishul after Kavush is Chayev. So I don't get it. You're telling me that had there been a Kavush D'Oraisa, we would apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Who says? On the contrary. You're borrowing the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul from Shabbos. In Melechah Shabbos, there's Bishul after Kavush. So how could Rabbi Kiveger tell me that had there been Kavush here, he would be potter from Bishul because of the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, Mimokav Shabbos? In Shabbos itself, you would be chayav for such a case. And the second question that we have, which we've already raised, is the Krasi. The Krasi says that if you take the Isra HaLoh, and the Gemara says that we're afraid that you'll be Mavashal in an Ilfas, so the Krasi says, I don't get it. We're talking about Basa that's Mavushal, and we're talking about Cholov that's Mavushal. What are you putting on your table? You're not putting raw meat on the table. So why not apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Perhaps the answer to these two questions lies in Rabbi Kiveger, not here at the beginning of Pei Zion, but Rabbi Kiveger later on in Tzadi Beis, when he presents the sheet of the Issa V'Heter, he says the following. He says it's true that according to the Issa V'Heter, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. However, Bamedvar Mamurim, he says, when you took the Basar and the Cholov and you cooked it together, then the Issa V'Heter holds Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But let's say you cooked the meat separately, and you cook the cholov separately, and then you combine the two, that would be a violation of the Iser Bishel of Basar B'cholov, even according to the Iser V'Heter, despite the fact that Ein Bishel Acher Bishel, this would be Bishel Acher Bishel. Now imagine, says Rav Akiva Eiger, in Shabbos, if you took something that's cooked, and you add to it another thing that's cooked, and you cook them both together, you're potter because of Ein Bishel Acher Bishel. But yet, paradoxically, in Basar B'cholov, you would be chayav for such a thing, even though each foodstuff in and of itself was cooked already, but the combination thereof with one bishel engenders a violation of the isolav of bishel with regard to Basar B'cholov. And now Rabbi Kivega is saying this, having accepted the view of the Isar V'Heta, the Shari Dura, that ain bishel achar bishel in Basar B'cholov. In other words, basically what comes out of this, Rabbi Kivega, is the following. That Basar B'cholov is not the way we understood it on the other polar extreme from Shabbos, but rather, Basar B'cholov is really a compromise shita right down the middle. Ein achinami, ein bishel achar bishel, ein achinami, yesh bishel, well, let's start the other way around. Ein achinami, ein bishel achar bishel, in some sense, Basar B'cholov is similar to Shabbos, in which case, once you cooked Basar B'cholov together, b'yachad, then the second bishel would not engender a violation. That's ein bishel achar bishel. But on the other hand, I'm not willing to say ein bishel achar bishel to the extreme that Basar B'cholov completely rejects the halacha in Shabbos, but there is a halacha. Right, I'm sorry. That even though ein bishel achar bishel in Shabbos, I'm not willing to say that the halacha of bishel basar b'cholov accepts the halacha of bishel b'shabbos hook, line, and sinker, the entire thing. There will be bishel achar bishel in basar b'cholov, not like Shabbos, in the case where the cholov was mevushal levad and the basar was mevushal lechad, and I combine the two in one bishel. So what I'm trying to do is figure out, what is this compromise shita? But if...
Yeah, go ahead. You're adding the taste now.
Oh, maybe it's that you're adding the taste. Good. So that's going to be the body HaShulchan. I'll get to that mati in 1 minute. But I just want to say, I want to enjoy for a moment the taste, if you pardon the pun, of this Rav Kivega, because this, I think, would answer the question of the crazy. What was the crazy's problem? That what kind of meat do you put on your table? Cooked meat. What kind of gvina do you put on your chalav? Do you put on a table? Cooked chalav. So now you're cooking it together, so what? Ein bishel achar bishel. The answer is, according to Rav Kivega, the crazy's kasha is no kasha. If I apply this compromise shita, then I would say that although ein bishel achar bishel in basar b'chol, but made for a moon when you cook them both together, biyachat, then ein bishel achar bishel. The chashash of halah, of Shema Yalav Ilfis, is because although each one was cooked separately, they were never ever cooked together. And perhaps in the light of this Chiddush of Rav Kivega, I was thinking, we could answer the question of the Iser V'Heta, Shari Duri Iser V'Heta. What's his question? He's saying that there should be an Iser of Bishel when he lights up the Chema, correct? That's his Kasha. And the Sharfayim is going to have to say ain bishel achar bishel. No, the Sharfayim can also agree that yesh bishel achar bishel, but that's only if each one was cooked separately. But here, in the case of chema, which was cooked in a kederish al basar, it has the taste of the bishel was done to both the chema and the basar together. Then the Sharfayim says ain bishel achar bishel. There's no need to assume to identify the Sharfayim with the extreme view of ain bishel achar bishel, which means that even if I take two separate things and I combine them, still I'm not chayef for bishel. Why? Because each one was mevushal. And I accept the analogy to Shabbos, hook, line, and sinker. No! That's not the Shar Ephraim. The Shar Ephraim only meant to say that once there was a cooking of both basar and cholov together, then we're going to apply the principle of ein bishel achar bishel. And I was very excited about this, and then I opened up the Bari HaShulchan. And the Bari HaShulchan says what Mati says. And he says the following. Do you guys have this Sefer?
No.
No? If you're learning neither, you have to have it. But I would even add basar b'chalav to the list. Okay, if somebody could just make a mental note, his name is Rav Feivel Cohen, and he wrote a Mishnah Berurah, so to speak, on Yeridei, but it's really exceptionally good. The only thing is you have to harvav it. You know, there's nothing, it's not light reading. But he says the following. He says that Ayin Reb Kiva Eger shedigdak mi divrei hashari dura. He has the shari dura. We have it in Reb Kiva Eger. Again, in our printing, the two gear souls. But anyway, he has it in the name of the shari dura. Shedigdak mi dvar Reb Kiva Eger shenisbashl kvar chatichas basar becholov mutol lachsar ulavash. Meaning, Ein Bishol Acher Bishol and Shabbos applies here as well. The only problem is that the first round was Kavush and not Bishol. And then he says, U'mashma midivrei Rabbi Akiva Eger, she'im nisbashel habasol l'chud, v'acholav nisbashel l'chud, oso l'vashlom yachad. And then he tells you to look at Rabbi Akiva Eger and Simon Sadi Beis. So he says, what's the deal here? I mean, if you're holding Ein Bishol Acher Bishol, when they were both cooked together, then why not, and you're borrowing the halacha from Shabbos, then apply the principle straight away consistently, and even if they were cooked separately, to re-cook them would still be Ein Bishol Acher Bishol from the halacha of Shabbos. So why all of a sudden when they were cooked separately is Yesh Bishol Acher Bishol? So he writes the following, Yesh Levar Svarasam, it's not only Rav Akiva Eger, it's also the Prima Gadim. The Meleches Bishol de Shabbos, Hu Zesha Osa Michai Mevushal. He takes something raw and he transforms it to something cooked. It's got to be a very radical change in the very physical structure of the foodstuff. Vishinui Zehu Meleches Shabbos, the Be'ina Meleches Bishol. When does it qualify as Meleches Bishol? When you took something chai and you made it into Mevushal. So the fact that these both these foodstuffs were cooked separately but were never cooked together is totally irrelevant because it's already Mevushal. Masha'en came le'inyin basa b'cholov. Kol shepoel Bishol Hasheni Toras Mevushal b'machol Havi le shapir Bishol basa b'cholov. Now, at first when I read this line, it didn't make any sense to me because it sounds like, the words sound like, Ein Bishol Acher Bishol doesn't apply at all in Basar B'Cholav. Because he's saying that the second Bishol has a Torah's Bishol to it. Okay, it's not a Shinui, and therefore won't qualify as Melechas Bishol, but it's a Maisa Bishol, Torah's Maisa Bishol, therefore Yesh Bishol Acher Bishol. But if that be the case, it should apply even in a case where he had cooked them both together, and now he's cooking them a second round. But he's coming to explain, Rabbi Kivega, who holds, that if they were both cooked together, it's Ein Bishol Acher Bishol. It's only when they were cooked separately. So I think, again, I'm pushing it in, that really what he means to say, and you'll judge it for yourself, is what Mati was saying before. That in Hilchas Shabbos, there's no halach of tam. Tam is lo maila v'lo morit. The fact that now you take basar and you take chol, both of which were cooked, you cook them together and now you change the tam, that's not enough to qualify as a shinui. The shinui has to be minakotze lakotze, from chai to mevushal. However, with regard to Torah's Bishol in Basar B'Cholav, what you really need to accomplish is some sort of impact, some sort of repercussion, so to speak, as a result of the Bishol. And that's enough for Nesinas Tam. Since through this Bishol, there's a Nesinas Tam, therefore, you're chayav Mishum Bishol Basar B'Cholav. Oh, now we can say, I understand, Rabbi Kiveger, if the basar was cooked separately in the cholov separately, now you're creating a nesinas tam. But if they were both cooked together, you're not adding anything to the second bishul, and there's no nesinas tam, then the principle becomes Ein Bishol Acher Bishol. So we now begin to understand this compromise shita. that on one hand we say ein bishul achar bishul because the second bishul is just a repeat performance of the first bishul. It doesn't have a Torah's bishul to it. On the other hand, we're going to say yesh bishul achar bishul if there's an asinus tam through this bishul, because that makes the bishul significant. Now you'll ask me, if that be the case, why in Hilchos Shabbos, if I take two foods that were cooked and I cook them together, I'm not chayav, ein bishul achar bishul? The answer is because in Hilchos Shabbos tam and asinus tam is not a relevant factor. It's not a category. But rather, the category is Meleches Bishu, which he identifies as Shinui. That's only if I take it from raw to cooked. That qualifies as Bishu. But if both were cooked, even though they were cooked separately, the fact that now I cook them together, and that it's an Asinus Tam, that itself is not enough to qualify as a Bishu of Shinui. Oh. But Rabosa, would you just give me one more minute? Because I'm going to lose my train. Sorry. I want to ask the following question. Let's go back to the Issur V'Heta once more. The Issur V'Heta says that the meat was soaking in the milk, and that's called kavush. That's only derabbanan. And now, you cook it, and you're chayav. Okay, fine. Had you cooked them together, you would be potter for the second bishul. It's very good because there's no nesinus tam. But wait a second. As I told you before, the Issur V'Heta is implying that had kavush been kimavushal dal raisa, then you'd be allowed to cook it again. I don't get it. Why not say that even though kavush is kimavushal, there's no doubt in my mind that the subsequent bishul adds a nesinus tam? Meaning, why is the Issur V'Heta putting all his eggs into one basket? Is kavush do raisa, or is kavush do rabbanon? Since kavush is only do rabbanon, therefore when you cook it afterwards, you're chayav. Forget about that. Even if kavush would be do raisa, and we quoted before the Igle Tal, who says yesh bishal achar kvisha in Shabbos, that itself proves that the bishul has a very significant impact even after it's kavush. That doesn't change one iota whether kavush is the rice or kavush is the rabbanon. Meaning, if we're maintaining that yesh bishul achar bishul, when you change the tam, you took two things that were cooked, you join them together and you cook, you've changed, you altered the tam, in basar v'chalav, that's enough for the violation of the Issur bishul. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, I can't make any sense out of what he's saying. Now, if that be the case, then why would it make any bit of a difference whether kavush is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Once you have a vashal it, is yesh bishal achar kvisha. Again, Rabosai, what I quoted to you, the Igle Tal, that was shtuyot. That was stupidity. What do I mean? I mean, the Igle Tal says what I said, but it's not relevant to that discussion. The Igle Tal is saying yesh bishal achar kavush and Shabbos because kavush ain't okim avushal d'oraisa. So that's not relevant. Our discussion is theoretically if kvisha was bishal d'oraisa. I mean, I can't prove a thing from the Igle Tal. I mean, take that out of your heads if I deliberately planted a mistaken seed in your brain. But just make sure you're oikerit, you know, before Hash Rasha. So now we have to make some sense out of the sheet of the Issur V'Heta. What difference does it make whether kavush is kimavushal do raisa? If we're holding that yesh bishal achar bishal, when is it a sinus tam? And therefore, even if I take two foodstuffs that were already cooked, I cook them together and there's a transfer of tam, that itself constitutes bishal, that should certainly apply even if kavush were d'oraisa. And therefore, Rabosa, I would like to suggest another possible definition to yesh bishal achar bishal in basar v'chalav. And that is that the lav of bishul means not to create a cheftz of basar v'chalav. The Issur bishul is do not create a cheftz the isura of basar v'chalav. Therefore, if I take something that's already been cooked, basar and chalav together, then ein achinami, ein bishul achar bishul. Why? The cheftz of the isura has already emerged. My bishul does not change ki hu zeh and create a cheftz of isura. The cheftz of the isura is already there. It predates my bishul. But if on the other hand I have chalav mevushal and I have basar mevushal, each one separately, then although ain bishlach or bishal, but in this case, since I'm creating a new cheftet isur of basar mechalav, that itself elevates it to the status of an isolav of bishal. And if that be the case, I begin to understand very clearly what the isur v'heter is batting about. He's saying the following. If I take meat and milk that was soaking together and I cook them, I'm creating a chefta of basar mechalav. And therefore I violate the isolav of bishul. But man, only if I assume that what? Kavush is drabanan. Since kavush is drabanan midoraisa, I don't have a chefta disura. When I cook them together, I've created a chefta disura. And the Shari Duru says, therefore I violate the isolav of bishul. But if, on the other hand, kavush would be kimavushal daoraisa, then the principle of ein bishul achar bishul would kick in. And why is that? Because since kavush kimavushal daoraisa, I already have a chefta disura of basar mechalav. When I cook it a second time, I have not created a new chefta disura, and therefore it doesn't constitute a meleches bishul. Excuse me, a violation of the law of bishul. So it comes out according to the Shari Dura something very simple. You want to know whether yesh bishul achar bishul of basar mechalav or ein bishul basar mechalav? You have to answer one question. What was the situation before you started your bishul? Was there chefta disura? Was there not a chefta disura? If there was a chefta disura, for example, if I hold that kavush is d'oraisa, and therefore I already have a chefta disura, it's also machila, also ma'na, etc., then your bishul subsequently is nothing. You have not created a chefta disura. But if on the other hand I hold that kavush is only d'rabbanan, therefore as far as the Torah law is concerned, you have not created a chefta disura when you cook and you violate an isur bishul. And I was thinking to myself that maybe that would answer the kash of the Eliyahu Zuta. The Eliyahu Zuta asks a kash on the Shaar Ephraim. The Shaar Ephraim says that when you take this chema and you light it as a candle, you violate the Isur Anah. Frank, the Eliyahu Zuta, but what about the Isur Bishul? So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Just like in Shabbos, ain't bishul achar bishul, so too here in basar mechalav ain't bishul achar bishul. But that's nonsense. Because we know that in Hilchas Shabbos, if you have lach, shenitz tanin, let's say you heat up a liquid, and then it cools off, and you reheat it, you're chayim fishum leches bishul. Chema is, after its tanin, is like lach. And therefore, yesh bishul achar bishul even in Hilchas Shabbos. So why did the Shaar Ephraim omit the fact that in addition to the Isur Anah, there's a more serious and fundamental violation, namely a violation of the Isur Bishul? The answer is because the Shaar Ephraim holds that the Isur Bishul is to create a chefta disur of basar mechalav. And therefore there's no difference one iota between lach and Yavish. In both cases, I've already created through this bishul a chefta disura. The fact that it cools off is irrelevant. Even though in Hilchas Shabbos I would be chayav for such a bishul, because I made a tremendous impact on the liquid by restoring its heat, right? The chimum is the tikkun in liquids, but nevertheless, that has no bearing on basar mechalav, because of basar mechalav, ein bishul achar bishul, unless you are responsible for creating a chefta disura of basar mechalav. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Alan, you wanted to say something? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. I tell you, it's such a complicated sugya.
So basically, there's no shaykh according to
it's a whole new definition.
Yeah.
And therefore, whether or not you made a powerful impact or not, you know, like for example, in the terms that the Bari HaShulchan uses, that where's the shini of Melechus Bishul because it was chai and not smushal, all that is irrelevant. And it could go in both directions. It could go l'chum or go l'chum.
There's several things you answered already in the show, but one thing, it seems to me that when you're talking about when you're soaking it, whether it's derabbanan or d'oraisa, whether it
kavush kavushal d'oraisa or derabbanan,
it really hinges on a physical fact. In other words, if it's the rabbanan, it's a gzeira because it'll look like something like that. But if it's the, if you're holding it for your rice, you're holding it, actually makes a mamish change.
Correct. There. So and that change is so substantial that you've created a the surah of basar b'chalav. You violated the isur bishul.
Yeah, but then you're saying.
But I asked the question about in Hilchos Shabbos, the Igletal says that yesh bishul acha kovash. So what difference does it make if the kovash is doraisa? You still should be chayav for the subsequent bishul because yesh bishul acha kovash. The answer is that there's another element here in the equation, namely if kovash is doraisa, then you've already created a chefta the isur of basar b'chalav. And now we're going to apply the principle of yesh bishul acha kovash.
But he holds that it is the same, that kovash is the same as bishul. So once the
if it's the same as bishul, then ain't bishul achar bishul.
That's right.
But since it's rabbanon, it's not a chef to the isur of basar b'chalav because kovash is only drabbanon. That's where the isur of ahet says that for your subsequent bishul you chayav, meaning because you created a new chef to the isur. It's irrelevant to go through all the halachas of Shabbos with the Igletal about kovash after bishul, bishul after kovash, tzli after bishul, bishul. All that is irrelevant. If, for example, I hold that tzli constitutes bishul as far as the lav of basar b'chalav, then ein bishul achar tzli in basar b'chalav. If, on the other hand, I hold that tzli is eino kibishul as far as the lav is concerned, and it all depends on Karban Pesach and how to interpret the psukim of Karban Pesach, then here too, I'd be chayav for the subsequent bishul, even if I hold in Shabbos ein bishul achar afiyah, simply because I've created a chefta the surah of basar b'chalav.
This kasha is on the crazy because he was one of the most brilliant people who ever lived. How did he not come up with that too?
So let's go over the crazy once more. The crazy is saying, who cares about the possibility of halah? In any event, it was already mevushal and ain bishul achar bishul. So he wants to come to the conclusion that yesh bishul achar bishul. Maybe he means exactly what we're saying. What he means by yesh bishul achar bishul, he's not rejecting all the sources that say ain bishul achar bishul. And we claim that according to a whole school of Rishonim,
he holds like a baby.
Right, exactly. Maybe we could say that. And therefore, he's saying that although each element here that's on the table, the boss and the gavina would cook, but now you're creating a chef to the surah, and that's yesh bishul achar bishul.
Now, when you're talking about the is the swara because when you do continue cooking it, then that you're creating a new chefta.
I don't know, chefta or tikkun, I would call it.
Or is it because tabacho and the zray means only it's partially cooked? So you consider that which is not cooked yet as if it's not cooked, period. And then when you're mavashal, what's not cooked.
Exactly.
There's nothing to do with what is already cooked. So, okay.